This is Property Today on the Agenda. You're listening to Sonal Rupani. I'm covering for Georgia Tully while she's on her leave. And we're joined, as always, by Mohamed Al-Wadia. He is the wolf of real estate. He's our property expert here at Dubai Eye 103.8. And we talked about buying off plan. We talked about rents going up here in Dubai and what you can do about it. And we also talked about building security and safety with Dominic Sims, who is the CEO of the International Code Council.
This is Property Today on the Agenda.
With Maras and Dubai Properties. For the most extensive real estate portfolio in Dubai, choose Maras and Dubai Properties.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Agenda. And as you just heard, it is time for Property Today. I'm so pleased to be joined in studio by Mohamed Al-Wadia. He is known as the wolf of real estate. And he's, of course, the regular co-host for Georgia Tully. But Georgia's on her leave. So thank you so much, Mohamed, for joining me in the studio.
Good morning. I'm so happy to see you again. We co-hosted the show before. So it's very good to see you again.
That's
here.
That's right. I think it was one of the first Property Todays, correct, in fact, over the summer, which, yes, is the last time I was covering for, yes, Georgia. But yeah, it's great to have you back in. And, you know, you were mentioning that you've actually rushed here. You've got a busy day today because, of course, there's so much on. World Government Summit, for
exactly,
one.
Exactly, the International Property Show. But let me tell you more about the World Government Summit. It's started today and it runs from the 13th till the 15th of Feb. And it's truly a global summit. We're having around 20 presidents, 250 government ministers, over 10,000 thought leaders in different aspects, economics, politics, sustainability. A lot of, you know, big thinkers are in the Madinat. And the sessions are amazing. I just had a chance to go there for a while. I came back. And then I have to head to the International Property Show, which started yesterday. Sponsored by Dubai Land Department at the Dubai World Trade Center. So it's going to be a very busy week.
Yeah, the International Property Show, it's really important with attracting foreign investment as well, right?
Of course. The whole objective is to do two things, is to gather all the industry professionals under one umbrella. You have a lot of developers, local, regional and international, displaying their best offers during these 3 days. And it's also a great opportunity for buyers who are looking for great opportunities to go there and scout and look for the best opportunities, whether they're end users or investors.
You're so busy today, but I want to get to a topic. We're so happy to have you in the studio
Thank you.
Because there's a story that's caught our eye and I have a strong reaction to this. I'm curious what your reaction to,
sure,
this. But it's all about Dubai rents going up.
Yes.
Increasing by 20% in some areas. Some people are actually describing this as a historic high in terms of rental increases. Real estate marketplace Property Finder has found that the average rental prices for apartment contracts actually went up around 21% compared to 2021. And with those in villas, increased by 37%. It's,
yes,
eye-watering, if you ask me, as somebody who's not a landlord. And of course, there are certain locations that are going up more than others.
Correct.
I mean, but is this a historic high? Have we seen these numbers before?
It is a historic high. The last time we witnessed such a high was around early quarter one of 2014. And it was fueled by the positive news of Dubai winning the bid for the Expo 2020. It was in November. And the market just got so excited, hyped up. But that's when the policy setters interfered to curb this unrealistic and unhealthy, in my opinion, that's my reaction to the news, sudden increase. So what happened back then, Decree 43 of 2013 was launched, which we all know as the rental index. This is where the rent increases are regulated and they go according to the rent calculator results. So for the people listening, the maximum would be 20%, but in some instances, if you rented in 2022, you're most likely going to get maybe zero rent increase or maybe 5%. The next slab will be 10, 15, but the maximum will be 20. And for these cases, they're the people most likely who rented in 2020, which was a very low rental season back,
right,
then. The rents really dropped back then. And it's just now recovering. So if you're listening and you rented in 2020, most likely you're getting the 15 to 20% rent increase. There are so many reasons. We can talk for hours about the fundamental factors that are fueling this rent increase, including the global unrest, the instability, political, financial, health, and even environmental. What's happening around the globe is resulting in global panic. And when people panic, they have the tendency of looking for a safe haven. And they come to Dubai because Dubai right now is definitely the world's safest haven. They bring their families, they bring their wealth, and they settle down here. And when they do so, they look for homes to rent or buy. They look for shops, they look for offices. And this demand, this influx of people migrating with their wealth and families is fueling the rent increases. Unfortunately, this is very bad news for the people who are renting here, who've been living here for a long time, because employers are not offering 30 and 20% salary increases to help them cope with the rent increases. But the good news, and this is a message to everybody who's listening as well, this is not going to last for a very long time. The predictions that, and this is not just my opinion, this is industry experts, reports from professional entities that have studied the market, demand and supply and all the trends. They're predicting that the market will start showing a slowdown during 2023, and especially after summer, and as we go towards quarter three and quarter four, the market will start slowing down. The momentum of the rent increase and price increase will start to slow down.
Well, that's good news for those of us that yes. are tenants and paying those rents. In terms of those rental increases, though, there are certain areas that seem to be a little bit more affected than others. So, you know, we're in Media City. It seems to be this end of town that has been mentioned, the Greens, Dubai yes. Hills, JLT, the Palm Jumeirah, where we're seeing a lot of these increases. What have you seen in terms of the specific areas that are going up the most and some that are still affordable to rent for those who are struggling?
The first part, as you mentioned, the more established areas, the sought-after communities, are witnessing the higher rent increase, mainly because of the high demand on them. But in specific, if we look at the villas sector, as you mentioned earlier when you shared the news about the rent increases, it recorded the highest increase. Why? Because it has the highest demand, especially after COVID. Everybody prefers to live in townhouses and villas, but the supply is very limited. And if you look at the total residential supply of units in the Emirate of Dubai, you'll see that it's almost 80% apartments right. and 20% villas and townhouses. Why? Because developers, they're using common sense. If you have a plot of land, would you rather build on it one unit, a villa, or build vertically a full tower? So, and land is very expensive. So they would rather definitely go for more apartments. But this is putting a lot of pressure on the prices of the villas and townhouses, and that's why they're increasing rapidly. So any community that has villas or townhouses is witnessing the highest increases in Dubai, especially if it's in established areas close to the main business hubs like Media City, Internet City, close to DIFC, close to Business Bay, because people typically would love to live close to where they work. This is where we see the hot areas in terms of rental demand and rental increases in general. When it comes to affordability, I would say always look for the outer rings. Like any city around the globe, any mature market, you will find that the outer rings offer better options, better value for money, more spacious units for the same price you would pay in the center or in downtowns. So this is the advice I can give them. And as I mentioned earlier, don't worry, towards the end of the year, things will slow down. Plus, more supply will come into the market because a lot of developers are witnessing, the high demand, and they're starting to launch more and more units, which are supposed to come, into the pipeline starting from early next year and onwards. We're going to see a lot of deliveries, which will help soften the pressure that we're witnessing right now.
And one last one for you on this topic. Are you seeing a change in behaviors because of this? So, for example, people who are renting right now, eye-watering prices that they're paying year after year to somebody else, thinking, you know what? It's time for me to invest
time.
And buy.
Yes.
Even though the prices for buying are high as well, are you
for
still
sure.
seeing that? Are people waiting it out, waiting for prices to drop so that they can buy?
You're absolutely right. This is one of the trends that we depicted starting early 2022. Tenants are starting to consider, buying, mainly because they're forced to do that. Landlords also have become very greedy. They're trying to take advantage of the market situation. So we've heard a lot and we've talked in the show on a lot of cases where landlords are trying to push their tenants out using the law or some unethical methods. But this is a market reality that we're witnessing right now. The good thing is the legal framework in the Emirate of Dubai is very fair and very robust, and it protects everybody, tenants and landlords, against any of these, attempts, illegal attempts. But in general, yes, we are witnessing a lot of people finally making the move. They're forced to do it. And I always advise people, yes, you should do that.
And there's so much more to that as well, which we'll actually come back to and discuss, in terms of visa changing, people feeling a more long-term future here.
Correct.
We do have Mohanad staying with us. If you have your questions for him, he will be taking those questions. He is the expert. Get in touch with us on 4001 at any time, also on WhatsApp 04871 5500. You are listening to Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is Property Today on The Agenda.
With Maras and Dubai Properties. For the most extensive real estate portfolio in Dubai, choose Maras and Dubai Properties.
You are tuned into Property Today on The Agenda. I'm Sonal Rupani, joined by Mohanad Al-Wadia as always. Mohanad, thanks again for staying with
us. Thank you so much. I'm still here with pleasure.
And we are joined now by another guest, Dominic Sims. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the International Code Council. Dominic, thanks for taking some time to pop into the studio with us.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me.
And now, Dominic, tell us a little bit about the International Code Council. It is a global source of code, standards, building safety solutions. Why is this something that's important to those out there in their cars listening?
Correct. So the International Code Council develops what I would call base building science information. And many countries around the globe rely on the work that the Code Council does to formulate local building codes and standards to assure that buildings are safe.
And we were talking about this a bit off air, but there's a topic right now on everybody's mind. Earthquake proofing.
Correct. I think this is the talk of, you know, or the thought that crosses everybody's mind now, not just here, around the globe. Are the buildings built around, or the existing buildings, old or new, ready for such natural disasters like earthquakes, for example? And what do you have to say to people to assure them or give them, or developers who are listening, what do they have to do to make sure that they comply with the best practices in this aspect?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I'd first want to say our thoughts are with those that have been impacted by the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. You know, I think the most reassuring thing I would say is it's important to know that the local regulators, as an example, the Dubai municipality, we meet with them periodically, and I know they're very conscientious. They're experts, and we work with them to assure that local codes are reflecting the latest thinking, the latest building science. So I would feel good if I lived in Dubai in a high-rise building.
Can I ask you a very simple question?
Yes.
How do you earthquake-proof a building fundamentally? I mean, what are some of the things that would make a difference between one that is able to withstand certain tremors versus one that isn't?
Right. It has to do with resistance. So if you think about a seismic event is energy that moves through the ground. Mm-hmm. So it starts with the foundation, right? And depending on the seismic activity in the area, you would design a building with certain types of resistance in the foundation.
And as you've mentioned, a lot of us have reason to feel safe here in our buildings in the UAE, and I think we do. But there is another common issue we see with building security here, which is fires. And
correct.
I don't know if it's one of those things because they sort of go up the building so quickly here, they're captured on social media, they get more attention, maybe this does happen, but they seem to be a frequent occurrence here in the UAE, at least in the public perception. Why do you think we're seeing this, and what is something that can be done about it in terms of fire security and safety?
Yeah, fire safety is a big concern around the globe. You know, sprinklers are the first and best way to address the fire safety issues, and I'm sure that the local authorities are looking at high rise buildings to make sure that they're fully sprinkled.
Yeah, of course. They have also, I think, the curtain like sprinklers, like just spray the whole building.
Correct.
From the facade, from the outside, not just from the inside. I've heard about these, but I'm sure you're working with the authorities here, right?
We are.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how would you compare the flexibility and the how adaptive they are here compared to other parts around the world? Because I'm sure you work with a lot of governments, right?
Yes.
So how would you compare the region here, not just the UAE or Dubai, mm-hmm. just the region compared to other parts of the world?
I would say the because of the growth in the region, mm-hmm. There is a lot of interest in innovative products and materials and techniques.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm here this week. We're hosting an event this week on the use of innovative building products.
Perfect.
And I think it starts with that, understanding how to use building products properly, because oftentimes it's not just the product that's perhaps an issue, it's how it's applied.
Correct.
And so I think the authorities in the region understand that and are, you know, are constantly looking at ways and regulations to assure that products are installed properly.
So the workshop that you're hosting here is attended mostly by government officials, developers. Who would be the kind of people
attending? Architects and material manufacturers.
Excellent. It's taking place this week?
This week at Sheridan, Grand Sheridan.
Great. Yes.
When it comes to a new innovative technology, I mean, is there something out there that you think is going to change the industry that you're watching at the moment? And also, what's then the process of making sure it's safe? How do you go through that? How long does something have to be tested before you think, okay, this is good enough to go into our buildings?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the topic on a lot of people's minds these days in the building community is the impact of lithium-ion batteries, right? Because they burn hotter. It's a different ballgame when it comes to putting out a fire with lithium-ion batteries. So we have to go back and look at, one, what's the risk? What are the factors that have to be considered in designing buildings in the future? So, the use of lithium-ion batteries is safe.
So I have two questions now. One is, what can we do about the older buildings? I mean, we're blessed here. The real estate sector in Dubai is, as a city, is relatively new. So most of the buildings built here are compliant with the best practices, I would say, because they're new, relatively. But what happens if you're in a city where you have very old buildings? Mm. Is this part of retrofitting them? I mean, is that something doable or not?
It's doable. It's difficult. And it's expensive. And oftentimes, owners or tenants don't want to pay for retrofits.
Yeah.
But I think, on the other hand, we look at things like an event last year in the United States, in Florida, Surfside building collapsed. It was an older building, had latent maintenance issues, and they were ignored. Okay. So, you know, the lesson here is, while it might be
a bit costly to upgrade it.
Right.
But it's the safest option instead of losing all your investment.
Right.
My other question is about the future. Can you help us imagine how buildings will be in the future using the best practices? I mean,
from our perspective, it's all about performance codes. We're moving to re-engineer the International Performance Code, which gives regulators, designers, contractors, developers maximum flexibility. But it sets benchmarks for certain aspects of building safety, like fire resistivity, seismic resistance, and all the hazards that you would associate with building construction. We're developing benchmarks for each one of those, and again, in order to give developers maximum flexibility. So
makes sense.
I'm excited about the future of building safety.
Dominic, thank you so much for taking the time to pop into the studio with us. We appreciate that. That is Dominic Sims, Chief Executive Officer of International Code Council. We have so much more coming up on Property Today. We've got a lot of questions streaming in that we're going to get to, and Mohamed's going to get to. And we're also going to be talking about buying off plan. What you need to consider, essentially, if you're planning to do this, what are the pros and the cons? Stay with us.
This is Property Today on the Agenda.
With Maras and Dubai Properties. For the most extensive real estate portfolio in Dubai, choose Maras and Dubai Properties.
You are tuned in to The Agenda. It is Property Today. You're listening to Sonal Rupani, joined by the wolf of real estate, Mohamed Al-Wadia.
I'm still here. And you know what? We should record an off-air segment because we had a lot of interesting talks about real estate as well off-air.
It's so true. It actually never stops, right?
Never stops.
And it's one of those things where even when we're going back on air, we're cutting a conversation short just so we can put the microphones back up.
But that's the fun of it. I think, you know what? I enjoy doing this because everybody I meet, they have a real estate question. Everybody is either a tenant or thinking to become a landlord, or they're already a landlord. Everybody. And whenever I meet anyone socially or even at work, they keep asking me questions about real estate. And I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it in you. You have the passion and you bring that. And we've got so many questions that have come in from our listeners.
Sure.
And I do want to get to these.
Yeah.
We've got a question, no name actually, on this one, asking if you see the rise in villa sale prices continuing. So presumably somebody who's considering buying. This is always the question, right? Is now a good time? Is it going to continue to go up?
This is the key question. Is it a good time to buy or not? And the answer is, it's always a good time to buy, but only if you study the options very well. You understand your situation and you're in it for the long term. Real estate is a long-term asset class. So never buy it thinking I'm going to buy and flip in a year or two. If you buy it and sit on it for the next 10, 15 years, you shouldn't worry at all about it. Just make sure you do your math. Follow. We've covered on the show a lot of the aspects that you have to consider when buying a property for personal use or for investment. Just, you know, check all the boxes and don't delay the process. Go and do it right now. Because to answer the question, yes, as I mentioned earlier on the show today, the predictions are that the momentum will continue, especially with the villas because of the shortage in supply, but things will start slowing down. It's not going to go down. The rise of pricing will slow down. The curve will slow down towards the end of this year.
Right. And we've got another question in. This one's from James. I'm just trying to understand this one. He says, I've moved to a four-bedroom townhouse in Villanova. Mm-hmm. Current rental is $115.
Yep.
The RERA rent calculator does not list Villanova, only the villa, Dubai Land. So I guess a comparable...
Yep.
Area, and an increase of 17,000, but that's for a much more expensive area. So how does it compare if your area is not listed in RERA?
I'm not sure if Villanova is not listed, but if it's not, it's very simple. He can visit the Dubai Land Department, the rental section, and they can issue for him a comparative certificate of Villanova, because they have actual Ijari contracts there. So they can either add it as an area, because it's still relatively new as a district. It's quite a big district. It's a beautiful project, by the way. But the actual transactions are still building up as they deliver more units there. So my advice to him is to go to RERA, to the rental section, and they will help him by issuing a special certificate for... it's like a special rent calculator certificate for that specific case.
That's brilliant. I didn't know that. If you can't find your community in the rental calculator, you can do something about it, which is good news. Now, Mahanad, another thing we wanted to talk about today was buying off plan. Because a lot of people are looking at this market, as we've talked about, a lot of people that have been renting for a long time for different reasons. Some people saying, I don't want to pay rent anymore. And other people feeling more secure here with longer term visas.
Correct.
That are available as well. Thinking, I want to buy.
Yes.
Now, of course, given the prices and where they're at, off-plan is something that might seem attractive, but also potentially risky, depending on the developer.
100%. So I just want to say two things here. You need to first and foremost determine what's your objective and what's your situation. If you're somebody who wants to move in right now, off-plan will not be the right choice for you.
Because,
you have to wait to get the off-plan. And typically, most developers, with the exception of the top developers like our sponsors, Miraz, Dubai Properties, Amar, these developers tend to deliver on time. The rest, it's very known fact that most developers are late by like a year or so. So you cannot plan your life if you're somebody who wants to move in immediately around an off-plan property. The second thing, you need to also look at the financials. Typically, an off-plan property is cheaper. It's more affordable because it's not ready, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to understand the impact. How is it worth the wait or not from a financial point of view? And how is your situation? Can you still commit to the payments or not? Because it's very risky also to default on any of the payments. That's very risky for anybody who's considering to buy an off-plan property. The other thing is, I want to define what's off-plan, because a lot of people use this term off-plan, under construction, and they're different. So I'm going to clarify this for once and all. You have projects that are off-plan. Off-plan means they're still at the very, very early stage. So we're talking about the initial design or concept design. This is when the developer gets the land, gets an architect, they put together an initial design, they get the approval on it, and they start selling. So it's still not under construction. It's totally off-plan,
right?
Which means it's still way far from getting completed. Because typically, after you get this approval, you go through a lot of changes in terms of design. You reach to schematic design, detailed design, final design, and then you appoint a contractor and you start the construction. This could take sometimes from 4 months up to a year. So you need to account that, take into aspect into consideration. So this is one aspect of plan. Under construction also has two types. Under construction could be at the early stage, where we usually pass by a project and we find a hole where they start doing the foundation, right?
Yeah, of course.
We call this the substructure. This typically takes a lot of time, by the way, to build the under the ground, we call it, or the substructure. And then you have the second type, which is the superstructure, which is above the ground. And typically, this is when a lot of people tell me, every week I pass, I see, or every day I see a new floor. Yes, because it's faster. Yeah. Most of the work is under the ground. So I'm trying to share this knowledge in a simple way so people understand what they're getting into. Are you buying off-plan, under construction with substructure, or under construction with superstructure. It makes a difference because it impacts price, impacts time as well. Then you have the ready properties, which are typically ready. They have a building completion certificate, and they must have the building completion certificate because some buildings are ready, but they still don't have the certificate because they're still waiting for connections of DEWA, of sewage. So sometimes this could take a lot of time. So you need to know exactly what you're getting yourself into, and based on that, decide what you want to buy. Now, very quickly, pros and cons. Obviously, buying an off-plan property or under construction property comes with a discount, which is great. But as you mentioned earlier, the most of the risks associated with real estate are with off-land properties.
Right.
I always say it's like buying fish in the sea. You don't know what you're going to get. Is it going to be on time? Is it going to be the right specs, the right layout, the right view? Believe it or not, I had people who bought with a, for example, water view, and then they ended up with something else.
Right.
And in the contract, it says the developer is allowed to do that, right? Some people bought with a certain use. I had a lot of cases where people bought a hotel apartment, but they ended up with a normal apartment. Makes a big difference, right? So a lot of problems typically happen with off-plan or under-construction properties. It's not the safest option. But if you're going to go through that process, I can advise you how you can go about it. One, you need to do your homework. When you're buying an off-plan or under-construction property, buy it only from a reputable developer, somebody who has been in the industry for a long time, delivered a lot of projects, and you can check on their delivery and handover capabilities. Do they deliver on time? Do they have a good customer service, the right specifications, the right quality, the right lifestyle? I always say people don't buy properties, they buy the lifestyle, right? So visit their existing properties and judge by yourself or ask people who are living there about their experience. The other thing, as I mentioned earlier, you need to do your math very well. Study your situation, make sure you will not default. Plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Right.
Just make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. And finally, just make sure it fits your lifestyle and your situation, because I've seen people buy off plan in a certain area to live in that property. And by the time of handover, after 2-3 years, they discovered that they relocated their offices. The schools of their children are somewhere else. And they're like, we don't know what to do, right? Or they took something that is too small for them and their family grew over 2, 3, 4 years. So plan for the future. It's a long-term investment. So you need to also think in that aspect. Think of it as a long-term investment.
And so people who are buying off-plan, you mentioned something there about, you know, knowing somebody that paid for a sea view or a water view and they ended up getting something else, but it was in the contract that allowed the developer to do that. When it comes to the contract stage, you know, these all seem a bit copy-paste, but what can you look for specifically within the contract to make sure that you are secure with what you think you're getting?
First of all, make sure you read the contract.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot
Good
of
start.
People who go in and just sign, but that's a huge mistake. So make sure you read the contract very well. Pay attention to the things that could go wrong. For example, the delay in handover. There's always a clause about that. Second, the layout or the size changes. For example, in most of the contracts, you'll find that there is an allowance of 5% variation above or below the agreed size. More than that, they can actually have a case. So you need to read that. The third thing, make sure what are the penalties involved in terms of if you default or in case they default as a developer and under what circumstances, because there is the famous force measure clause. Force measure is that the clause that all developers use. So make sure you read it and you understand it. Make sure you do your homework about service charges, any hidden charges. About that, read that section. Read the specification section very carefully. Read the view section and the provisions around it. So just make sure you do your homework before you sign the contract. And I know a lot of people will say, and listening will say, yeah, but developers don't agree to change anything if we tell them. You know what? Then don't buy from them.
Yeah.
Honestly, my typical answer to people who are worried about this, this property is not for you. Go buy a ready property. Seeing is believing. Go see what you will pay for, or simply just sign it, but knowing the risk that you're getting yourself into. So it's your choice. Nobody, I've never seen any developer forcing somebody to sign a contract. People sign it knowingly, and this is their choice. But if I am informed and I know what I'm getting myself into, it's different than somebody who did not read it and then gets shocked about a problem that faces them.
Now, Mahanand, I have another question for you, but we're going to have to come back to this, specifically about what happens if that developer does default. What can you do? What kind of recourse of action you have? So we will come back to that question in just a few minutes.
This is Property Today on The Agenda.
With Maras and Dubai Properties. For the most extensive real estate portfolio in Dubai, choose Maras and Dubai Properties.
You are tuned into Property Today on The Agenda with Sonal. I'm joined by Mahanand Alwadia. Mahanand, thank you again for all of your expertise, especially for the advice I'm getting off air. I feel like I have a special little line to the source,
and
I'm using it to the full.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
We do have some questions that have continued to come in. Mark's asked, please ask Mahanand if the recent economic slowdown has affected the real estate market and if prices will go down or continue to go up. We've kind of addressed this one throughout the show.
It seems to be the question of the day. In general, I think the momentum will continue because with all the unrest happening around the globe, Dubai is positioned in a very good place to continue benefiting from what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the question is obviously, as we're seeing those recessions happening elsewhere globally, how much will that eventually affect Dubai?
It will, but I think it's going to be a very soft impact, not as bad as people expected, because Dubai has developed a very good immune system by diversifying its economy, by really building the right legal framework, infrastructure, attracting the right caliber of people to come in and the right population growth. So I think they're way better positioned than before to handle any kind of crisis right now.
Right. And, you know, we've always said that there's a good recourse for action with different things that might come up.
Yeah.
And we've had a question that's come in that I think is going to resonate with a lot of people, which is maybe you try to take that recourse to action, but you can't get a response or, you know, some other obstacle is in your way. So this one says, landlord is trying to increase my rent by 18%, a third year renewal. Rental index says no increase. He informed us by third party less than 90 days before renewal, emailed and called him. He's not replying. So if your landlord is not coming back to you.
This is not very common, but it's very simple. All they have to do is go to the rental dispute center and just deposit the checks and the rental contract. They have to sign it as per the exact terms and conditions of their existing or last year's rent contract. Because that's what the law states, especially that the landlord failed to send them the notice before, like more than 90 days. So all they have to do is just deposit the checks and the contract, sign it and deposit it. And then the rental dispute center will offer the landlord 15 days to come and comply. If they fail to do so, the contract will be renewed automatically.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. Talat, we've been talking a lot about residential properties, and that's what we tend to speak to our listeners about. But Talat's asking, how's the demand for commercial properties in Dubai?
Oh, that's a good question. The demand for commercial properties, especially offices in Dubai, has witnessed a very healthy increase in the last 12 months. And especially that we have a shortage, I would say, in supply. If you look, since 2008 until now, we haven't heard a lot about commercial or office projects being launched in Dubai. The majority of the projects we've been hearing are for residential, hotel apartments or hotels and retail. Offices, for some reason, actually, we can have a whole segment about this, but offices did not have a lot of supply. And now the demand is increasing. Last year, Business Bay witnessed a increase in prices of over 40%. This is fueled by the demand for offices in that district. And so, yeah, it's a great asset. If you're looking to invest, maybe you should consider also offices, especially in business hubs in Dubai, like Business Bay.
And I want to end with just picking up on a question that we had addressed a little bit earlier, but come back around to. We're talking about buying off-plan properties and the risks associated with them. We talked about what you should look out for in the contract. But ultimately, if the developer fails to comply with what's being agreed, what can you actually do about it? Are people actually going to take them to court? Because that's an expense in itself.
Well, it's an expense, but it's something that must be done. First of all, I would advise anybody who's buying off plan to make sure they download the Dubai Rest app to check on a regular basis the status of their project, which is issued by Dubai Land Department. They conduct regular inspections of every project under construction. And then always pay in the escrow account. Never pay outside the escrow account, because that's your best way to protect your funds. If things go wrong, You have to consult the right authorities. There is a real estate court that you can go apply to file a case against that developer. According to the sales and purchase agreement, they will take the right action. Typically, most of these SPAs have a 1 year grace period or allowance for developers to default within. If it's more than that, then you have grounds for suing them, either to get to impose a penalty on them, you get compensated for that, or it can reach sometimes to cancellation. But you also should check if the actual project is still going on with a slow pace or if it's totally cancelled. RERA will tell you if the project is cancelled. That's immediate ground for refund of the funds.
Mahana, that's all we have time for.
Thank you.
It's just flown by.
Yes,
thank you for coming
because
in.
Because you are enjoying it. It's very helpful. And I really enjoy it. And I hope everybody who was listening benefited from it. If anybody has any extra questions, they can reach out to us and I'll be more than happy to answer
the questions.
You
did tell me that you do actually make a point to do that. So
yes.
We have gotten a question that's just come in that I want to throw to you, but we're
sure.
not going to have time right now. So I want our listeners to know that we will send those questions to
yes,
you
and
you
I will
actually
them personally.
Respond, which is brilliant. Thank you so much, Mahana.
Thank you.
Mahana will be back, the Wolf of Real Estate, next Monday yes. with Georgia on Property Today.